beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
With works, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And so, action must succeed compassion for it to produce results. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
We also understand that when Jesus saw them, what he did was he began to give them leadership and guidance, spiritual leadership and guidance. Amen to Jesus. And we understood that when he saw the people, he didn't just jump into giving them physical food, but he first of all gave them spiritual leadership and guidance. And we understood that it's important we note that Jesus did not lead and guide them spiritually by praying, prophesying, or laying hands on them. He did it by teaching them, praise God forevermore. Now, like a lens, although all of these are good and important, they cannot take the place of or precede teaching. Praise God forevermore. Teaching has to come first. Praise the Lord. And we understood that leading and guiding is teaching. Leading and guiding is teaching. And the Bible says, I'll lead thee and guide thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Praise God forevermore. And God was saying, children of Israel, said, and thy teacher shall no longer be put to a corner. So he knew that God was making them understand that the way I lead you and guide you is by teachers. Amen. And the Bible makes us understand the place of the teaching priest. Praise God forevermore. Now, so when you move teaching from leadership, you do not have leadership. You only have a man taking a stroll and expecting people to follow him behind. Amen to Jesus. And so when you want people to follow you, you must teach them how to follow you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, so Jesus is our great shepherd and our ultimate example. He showed us the first step to spiritual leadership and guidance. It is the what? To teach the people the kingdom of God. As we see in scripture, Jesus first taught them before he what? Healed them. He taught before he healed. Amen to Jesus. That was the precedence he created in this particular miracle. And this miracle plays a very pivotal role because we understood that it's a combination of redemption and reconciliation. It's, the whole of salvation's plan is bottled up in this miracle, as the five loaves symbolize the body of Jesus, which was broken for our salvation and our redemption. And the two fishes symbolize the new creation, who is a fisher of men. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
So it's a very important miracle and a very pivotal miracle that we must take the precedence of this miracle and apply it into our everyday, life, if we must do things the way Jesus did. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And we understood that he taught them, the first step he did by leading and guiding them was to teach them the kingdom of God. And we understood the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God, rule and reign of God here on earth. So Jesus began to teach them about the rule and the reign. When Jesus taught, he said, the kingdom of God is now. We did a study on a teaching on the kingdom of God. You go on the podcast to be able to get there. You understand that the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is to come. And so Jesus expounded the rule and reign of God. Whenever the rule and reign of God is made revealed to people, you don't need to struggle for miracles. One of the reasons why most of the times we struggle for miracles is because we do not expound the kingdom of God here on earth. When we don't expound it, we'll struggle to see miracles, we'll struggle to manifest miracles, we'll struggle to walk in the miracles. Once the rule and reign of God is revealed to the people, discover that the rule and reign of God will make the miracles happen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so Jesus taught them first and he healed them, and then finally he gave them all physical food. So that's the precedence we must follow. Teach them, heal them, feed them physically. It is not feed them physically, then teach them, or feed them physically, then heal them. No, you must follow the precedence. Now, this is the order of spiritual leadership and guidance. Over the years, the church has been coerced by society to change its order. Are we together? Now, I'm talking from experience. And when we talk about physical food, they were talking about physical and carnal things of different kinds. You know, I remember once in a church we planted, after the service, the congregant said they wanted to have one of the elderly person, the congregant said they wanted to have a meeting with the congregant. And I was in my office and I heard them shouting in the church that I am pastoring. They were shouting. And after everything, the elderly man came and met me and told us that they were complaining that we are not giving them money to start business. We are not giving them money to pay rent. And the first time I was hearing that was that. And I'm like, we just came, we are just planting a church. We have not even established the work. And you are looking for money to start business. Are you okay? And so when material things become the basis of ministry, we discover that we get it mixed up. And the society at large, the world at large, have been coercing the church to first give physical food before they give any of that thing. And it's messing the whole order up. Amen to Jesus. That's the reason why when people are flaunting the charity and the physical things, they say these ones are good people. They are children of God. Amen to Jesus. And that is what the society has been. I'm not against giving them food. But my principle remains the principle of Jesus. Speak them with the word, teach them the word, heal them, then do what? Feed them with carnal things, physical food. Are we together? But I can't start up feeding you with physical food. You won't sit down to even listen to me. Are we together? Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, so that's what the world and society has for us to change the order over the years. And so they've done it in this way. Heal us, feed us, and then teach us. Or feed us, heal us, and teach us. They just want to scatter the order that Jesus has, you know, set in place from the beginning. And if there's something in scatter, they will never allow you to teach them. They will never allow you to teach them. Now, this has led to us having the crowd, but unable to multiply the little we have to feed them because we failed to teach them first. So the church has succeeded in having the crowd, but we are unable to multiply the little we have to feed the crowd spiritually. Are we together? And that's why we have more of seeker sensitivity. We have more of the crowd. We have more of the people that are just there. And yet, they are not being fed. Why? Because from the beginning, they were not fed the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were not fed the word of God adequately. They didn't sit down to be fed the word of God. They wanted to be fed physical things. And then when you start with feeding them 5 loaves and 2 fish, the 5 loaves will not be enough. The 2 fish will not be enough. The reason why 5 loaves and 2 fishes were enough because Jesus had fed them with the word. He had fed them spiritual things and then healed them. Then that could give room for the word. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the word to be multiplied. But if you start off with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, even you yourself, that food is not enough for you. Because it was a young lad's lunch. And it was just some small 5 loaves and some small fishes. That was just a young lad's lunch. Which means it was not even enough for an adult. Let alone 5,000 men. The reason why we have had a lot of problems multiplying the little we have in the church of Jesus to feed the many is because we have taken the order of Jesus the other way around. We have taken it upside down. We motivate them with physical things. We try to get their attention with physical things. And at the end of the day, we can actually multiply the physical things. Yeah. Praise God, forevermore. But when the order is gotten rightly, the little physical thing we have will always be more than enough. The first church in the student's principle, and that's the reason why when they started off, they lived a communal life and they shared their things among themselves. And the Bible says, and none lacked among them. Why? Because the principles was first one, teach the word. When there was a problem in the church and some widows were complaining that there was not food, the food was not getting to them, and what and it was causing a challenge in church. In the church, Peter said what? He said, let us ordain 7 men for this task, so we can give ourselves to the ministry of the word and to what? And to prayer. They understood the principle of Jesus, that you give what? The word first, heal them next, physical food we take care of. And when they built on that understanding, they did the right thing, and there was no complaint again. But if Peter and the other disciples had left the ministry of the word and started going after tables, the food they have will never be enough to take care of the widows. And that's what is happening in the church today. And the devil has pressed a lot of leaders in church to dance to this tune, and it's not helping us. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. When we teach the people, we prepare their hearts and plant the word of God in them, which produces miracles. When we teach the people, we prepare their hearts and we plant the word of God in them, and that produces miracles. When I have meetings, I always like teaching the first day, teaching the second day. It's the last day I start going into the supernatural and every of that. Although sometimes God may alter the move, you get what I'm saying? But I like teaching first, because why? It prepares the heart of the people for the miracles. And one thing I've come to understand, that the worst that can happen is death. And so if I teach the first day and somebody comes and is about to die, and I teach the first day and he dies, the second day is dead, no problem. I teach. The third day he will resurrect. Paul was teaching and somebody fell down and died. He went, he brought the guy back up. I went and continued teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? This pressure that they have put on us as pastors, they make you feel that, oh, you have to meet their needs. Hey, there's emergency. With God, there's no emergency. Oh. There's no emergency. So nobody has the right to put you under an emergency situation. Even when somebody brought to an emergency unit in a hospital, the doctor is not under pressure. No matter the emergency, the doctor will never be under pressure. You will see they have been trained to never work under pressure. So with your emergency, they calm you down and take the patient in and still calm down and deliver their task. So I don't know what has brought the church to the point of emergency, and then they have put us under extreme pressure. Remember once, many years ago, about 14 or 15 years ago, you know, a gentleman came into my, and then we were holding the ministry fellowship in my house, and he was telling me of how, you know, he was about to die and blah blah blah, and he was a cultist, and now God showed him the name of the ministry and every of that, and he was telling me he was all smelling Indian hemp, and he was just pastor, please pray for me so that if I die I'll go to heaven. And I told him, hey, wait, I am the one in charge, and you're not the one in charge. You don't tell me what to do, I tell you what is to be done. And so I led him to Christ. Are we together? And I made him understand that God has a plan for him. That's what I made him understand. God has a purpose for him. If you allow people to determine how you do the work of God, you will give them their physical food first. And at the end of the day, the food will never be enough for them. Because when the food comes before the word, the food will never be sufficient. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore. Now Jesus told them about the kingdom of heaven, which is the rule and reign of God in the hearts of men. The rule and reign of God entails everything operational in the realm and the will of God, which was the realm which Jesus lived in on earth. Are we together? Now, so Jesus talks them about the kingdom of God. Why of all things the kingdom of God? If you look at history, there's a God that just kept on teaching on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. That was actually the message that Jesus preached. Are we together? That was the message that Jesus preached. John the Baptist preached, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word at hand there is an old King James English, which means it's here. Are we together? So if you hear at hand, you think it is coming. No. But Jesus went further on to make us understand that the kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is in us, is in our heart. So Jesus, he basically taught the kingdom of God. Why did he teach the kingdom of God? Why did this was his emphasis the kingdom of God? Because he wanted to make us understand that from the beginning, God's ideology was about the kingdom. God is a kingdom-oriented God. Are we together? God is a kingdom-oriented God. The Bible says the heaven is the Lord and the earth is his footstool. And then he went on and said, the heaven is the Lord and the earth has he given to the sons of men. Now, this is something we need to understand. The heaven is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the whole world and they that dwell therein. That's one understanding. Number two, the heaven is the Lord and the earth is his footstool. Then number three, the heaven is the Lord and the earth has taken to the sons of men. It makes us understand something about kingdom operation. Now, in every kingdom operation, you have what you call the supreme authority, and you have the governor in charge for a colony. Amen to Jesus. Now, the supreme authority and the governor over the colony, the president in charge over the colony, are leaders, as it were. Praise God forevermore. But the supreme authority, the supreme ruler, has both his own geographical region and the geographical region of the colony. His authority controls all that. Now, when we were under the British Empire, the Queen of England was she was in charge of our own England and in charge of our own country. Are we together?
Yes.
That has been a principle that I mean, and the purpose of kingdom is to extend authority. Now, if you go through epic movies, if you go through history, discover that one thing synonymous with kingdoms is that they always wanted to expand their authority. Now, no matter how powerful a kingdom was, it always sought to expand its authority. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It always sought to expand its authority. Amen to Jesus. And so you discover that over the time, they keep conquering other sub-kingdoms over them, under them, so that they can expand their authority. And that had been an ideology that had been in place from inception and from the beginning, from the world. Now, when God created the heaven and the earth, he created it because he wanted his rule and reign to be expanded all over. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so he owns the heavens and the earth. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And then he makes the earth his footstool. When he says something, when the earth is your footstool, it means it is under your dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's under, and the Bible speaking, it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. So, in other words, it's under your dominion. Now, the fish is symbolic for dominion. The Bible says, God told Joshua, just about one verse, wheresoever the soul of your feet shall step upon, I've given you for your word, for your possession. So the feet is symbolic for what? For dominion. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And so when God said the heaven is his footstool, it means he has dominion over the earth. The earth is a footstool. It means he has dominion over the earth. And now, how does God exercise dominion over the earth? Praise God forevermore. He makes us understand how he exercises dominion over the earth. It's not by putting his leg on his feet on the what? On the earth. Praise God forevermore. And enslaving the earth. Praise God. Because it's putting your feet on something is a sign of victory over the thing. And it's also another sign of subjugating, and enslaving. Praise God forevermore. God making the earth his footstool was not a sign of subjugating the earth, because God never had to go into a contest. Are you getting what I'm saying? To get the earth. He created the earth, so he didn't have to fight to get the earth. Praise God forevermore. Making the enemy thy footstool means that you won a war over the enemy. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God never fought a war as regards the earth. Praise the Lord forevermore. So for the earth to be his footstool, it was not a matter of subjugation. It's not a matter of dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a matter of what? It's a matter of taking his influence down to the earth. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So making the earth his footstool, it meant that the influence of his dominion was felt on the earth. And how did God make the influence of his dominion felt on earth? The earth is the Lord, and the fullness of the whole world, and it are there. And he says, the earth is the heaven is the Lord, and the earth has he given to the sons of men. God made his dominion to be felt on earth by giving the earth to the sons of men. And that is the simple principle of what? It's a principle of colonization. So you have the supreme ruler who is in the monarch of his own kingdom, of his own geographical location, and then he has a colony that he has put under him, and that colony submits to him, and that colony he has to put somebody as a representative of himself in that what? In that colony. Praise God forevermore. And so when God created the heavens and the earth, he put man as his representative. That is why the earth, God put it, making the earth his footstool, simply means God doing what? God giving the earth to the sons of men. Amen.
Amen.
And Adam lost that in creation, in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, praise God forevermore. When he lost that, what happened? The kingdom was the idea of God and remains the idea of God. So God had to seek to reinstitute the ownership of the kingdom back to man. Are you getting what I'm saying? God needed man to be in charge of his kingdom here on earth. Praise the Lord forevermore.
Hallelujah.
That's the reason why after the great tribulation and every of that, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because man was created by God to dominate, to rule on earth and to reign on earth, to extend his kingdom down to earth. Praise God forevermore. And so that kingdom of God that is to be extended to earth by man is what is called the kingdom of God that Jesus came to preach. In other words, Adam lost it. I came to what? Give it back to man. That's the reason why Jesus died and left. Why? Because Jesus did not come and hold the kingdom here. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't come to hold the kingdom here. Jesus came to give the kingdom on earth back to man. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the Bible makes us understand that there will be a new Jerusalem. Amen to Jesus. Jesus came to give that kingdom back to man. So he made us understand that the rule and reign of God is here now. It is here present in the rule and reign of God is the decision, the idea of God, the mindset of God, the ideology of God at work. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the kingdom of God. And what was the ideology, the idea, the mindset of God? It was the person of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? The person of Jesus. Jesus is the mind of God. He is the ideology of God. He is the thought of God. The Bible says, by wisdom did the Lord form the heavens. And you get what I'm saying? And the Bible makes us understand that Christ is the wisdom and the what? And the power of God. Amen. So, Jesus being here is what? The wisdom of God at work. And it was that wisdom that formed the earth. It was by wisdom God formed the earth. And you get what I'm saying? And so, Jesus being here means it is the former of the earth that came. The one who created the earth that came. And he is the mind of God. He's the thinking of God. He's the reasoning of God. He's the ideology of God. He's the way of life. He's the way of reasoning of the Father. Are we together?
Yeah.
And so he comes to make us understand that this way of reasoning of God has come. Are we together?
Yeah.
And so he says the kingdom of God is what? Is here. It has come. I am here. The kingdom of God is manifested amongst you. But the beauty of all things is that he didn't just come to manifest and hold the kingdom. No, he came to manifest and give us the kingdom. Because it belongs to the sons of men. Are we together now? Glory to God forevermore. And that's why when he died, he didn't stay here physically. He resurrected. And he said, I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you as orphanos. I will send you the helper, the comforter. Is a comforter of the same kind, the paracletos. The comforter of the same kind. And then we now go further to scripture to see that the Bible says, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, so the kingdom of God came in a human form. Brought the kingdom that Adam lost, he reinstated it. And then what did he do? He gave it to us. And left in a human form, but resided in a spirit form. So that the kingdom is residing in us and in our hands.
Hallelujah.
Every born again child of God has the kingdom in him and in his hands. So it's a double possession of the kingdom. Are we together? Praise God. Remember. That's why Jesus preached the kingdom. Because it was all about the kingdom. It got the ideology for creating the earth was all about the kingdom. The idea was about the kingdom. Now, if God never needed his rule and reign to be felt on earth, he would have left the earth without form, dark and void. Are you getting what I'm saying? But because he needed his rule and reign to be felt on the earth, he created the earth so that he can extend his rule and reign here. And so every child of God is a mobile kingdom of God. Within and without. Are we together? So when Christ in us manifests through us in the fruit of the Spirit, are we together?
Yes.
In the works of the Spirit, when Christ manifests through us, what is happening? The kingdom of God is manifesting.
Hallelujah.
So when we talk about the kingdom of God, it is not getting a set of people to one location and start having a government over them. No, we have one Lord, Christ Jesus, his love over us all. So every time Christ Jesus is manifested through us as children of God, we are just manifesting the kingdom. Amen to Jesus. So the kingdom is at work already. It's at work. It's plainly at work. And that's why the more Christians manifest this life of Christ, the more the kingdom will gain dominance on the earth. So when he said, thy kingdom come, he was saying, manifest Christ, manifest me, and thy kingdom will gain dominance. Praise God forevermore. Now, so the question is this, is the kingdom gaining dominance? The answer to it is, are we manifesting Christ? That's a simple answer. The more of Christ you reveal, the more the kingdom gains dominance. Praise God forevermore. The more the kingdom gains dominance. And that's what actually the Father was all about. The Father is all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Now, when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, the purpose of putting Adam in the Garden of Eden was for him to make the whole of the earth look like Eden. Are you getting what I'm saying? To make the whole of the earth look like Eden. That was the idea. So he can have a well-functional colony. Praise God forevermore. Now, but Adam lost his place in Eden. Amen to Jesus. And Jesus became our Eden. No, we did a teaching on that some years ago. Jesus became our Eden. We are in Christ. He's our Eden. In him flows all the rivers. The Bible says, and out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Remember that in Eden, there were four rivers that flowed. One river came out and parted into four. And one of the rivers had beryllium, another one had gold. Praise God forevermore. One river parted into four. Why did one river part into four? Why did one river part into four? Because Christ is the water of life. Praise God forevermore. He's that river. Amen to Jesus. And then he tells us, out of your belly shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers. In that one river that was parted into four rivers, Christ in us now parts into many, into rivers, four rivers. And the Bible says that rivers of living water is the Holy Spirit. So Christ in us is that one stream. And that stream, was the one that gave rise to the rivers. That is why before he left, he prayed upon the disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples did not receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They received it when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, what happened was what? Was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the manifestation of what they had received. Are we together?
Yes.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of what we have received. And so Christ is that river. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And from that river came parted four rivers. From Christ came the Holy Spirit. He said, I pray the Father to give you what? The Comforter. And I will not leave you what? Comfortless. So Christ was the one who gave us what? The Holy Spirit. So he's that river in Eden. Are we together? He's that river in Eden that gave rise to what? To the four rivers that parted. His Christ is the river. And the four rivers that parted is the rivers of living water, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, in Christ is the Eden. In the Eden is Christ. And in the Eden is the Holy Spirit. And so, that is why when Adam lost it in Eden, what happened was that the Father gave us the original Eden. Don't forget, the Bible makes us understand the book of Revelations that talking about, say Jesus, say, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so that means when the earth was being laid, the lamb was slain. This makes us understand that actually the lamb is the foundation of Eden. Praise God forevermore. And Eden lies in the lamb. Eden lies in the lamb. So Eden is in Christ. Christ is in Eden. In Eden is Christ, the river. And in Christ, in Eden, is the river that parted into four rivers. That is the Holy Spirit. So it's all about Christ in Christ, and Christ in Christ, and then we in Christ, and Christ in us. So the moment Christ manifested, see, this was just the idea from the beginning. It was the kingdom, it was God's kingdom idea. The heaven is, the earth is his footstool. And the footstool is just a symbol of leadership and authority that reflects in what? In the sons of men he has given it to. Adam lost it, Jesus came to give it back to the sons of men. But not every son of man now. every son of man who has received Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior. So that's why the only message, the core message Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. Because God's idea from the beginning was to establish his kingdom on earth. And he needed the sons of men to get it done. And Jesus came to give us back what Adam lost. And every born again child of God has the kingdom of God in him. When we manifest Christ, we do what? We manifest the kingdom of God. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
So, where people are looking for one, you see, this understanding is what the Jews lacked. And the Bible says that when Jesus kept manifesting the kingdom of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, healing the paralytic, they sought to make him king. Why? Because they thought this kingdom that we're talking about, they were expecting, actually, the Messiah they were expecting was a military Messiah who will come and give them freedom from Roman rule. That was the Messiah they were expecting. But looking at their the prophetic indicators for the Messiah and the expectations for the requirement for the Messiah to be, they saw that Jesus met this requirement, which was one of the requirements was that he must be from a kingly line. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus came from the root of David, praise God forevermore. The root of Jesse and from David, praise God forevermore. So he came from the kingly line. And Jesus met the requirement. He met the requirement to be met for a king, for the Messiah, praise God forevermore. But they did not accept him as Messiah. Why? Because though he met the requirement for Messiah, he did not meet their carnal requirements. What were their carnal requirements? They were expecting a military Messiah that will save them from what? From the bondage of Rome. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
But that is not what Jesus came to do. He came to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Not as a military man. But now, when they saw that he was not a military Messiah, are you getting me? But he was doing what a politician would do. You know, politicians, he was not what a politician would do. What the politicians are copying. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when politicians want to get into power, that's when they start sharing money, they start doing good deeds. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are showing kindness, but not loving kindness. Are we together? They start doing every of that because they want to get into power. When they get into power, you know, that's the end of their good deeds. Now, so they thought that Jesus was a politician. That's why he was healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, feeding the multitudes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they said, okay, yes. In fact, if he's not a military leader, he's a political leader. Are we together? So that made him king. But at the end of the day, he understood very well that their idea of kingship was wrong. Their idea of a kingdom was a physical kingdom. Are we together? Now, this understanding that Jesus had takes us back to Abraham's understanding of God's operation. Bible says Abraham was looking for a city who its maker and builder was God. Are we together? So he was not looking for an earthly city. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a city who is maker and builder was God. Now, it's saying that the maker and builder is God. It's not just an earthly city. Abraham had an understanding of the new Jerusalem from a what? From a human point of view. Because the city that the maker and builder is God is the new Jerusalem. So he looked for that city. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why the Bible makes us understand that this sense of old, if you go to the book of Hebrews, it says this sense of old, despite all the great things that they did, he said they are waiting for us. Why? Because they did not see the what? The promise. Are we together? They did not see the promise. So they are waiting for us to make them perfect. Why are they waiting for us to make them perfect? When I taught this some years ago, somebody was like, she stood up and she fought me. And I said, open it in scripture to April 7. They said that we are the one to make them perfect. I read it in black and she said it's not possible. Black and white, I read the scripture and say it's not possible. Black and you say that Abraham is waiting for me to make him perfect. I think all those people, all those great men of old, they are waiting for me. I say, but that is what the Bible says. She argued with me, she refused it. She refuted the word of God. She fought the word of God there and then. But that's what the Bible makes us understand. Are we together? It makes us understand it. I had an understanding of the New Jerusalem. But part of the New Jerusalem was something that we need to understand. Is the kingdom of God. Because the New Jerusalem is the physical end, that's the future kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before the future kingdom is the now kingdom, which is at hand, the kingdom that has come. Are we together? Now, so, and that kingdom was not a city, it was a person. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was a person, but actually a person that is a city. Praise God forevermore. So Abraham was looking for the city which is maker and builder was God. Who was, that city was not a word, that city was a room, is a person of Jesus. So Abraham was looking for Jesus. Says that they are waiting for us to make them perfect because they saw not the promise. The promise is Jesus. They didn't see the promise, but we have seen the promise. So they're waiting for us to make them perfect. So when Jesus came and said the kingdom of God, he said, he was telling them, he was making them understand that what Abraham was looking for, it has come. Not it has come, he has come. He sought for a city that the maker and builder was God. Remember, the maker and builder is God. And God is the one who, when the angel came to Mary, the angel came to Mary and said, you shall conceive and have a child. And she said, how can it be seen? I know that a man. He said, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that thou shalt conceive shall be the child of God. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that only thing that shall be consumed. In other words, that as the power of the Most High overshadow you, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, shall what? Shall make the holy thing in you, shall make the child in you. So the city that the maker and builder is God is the child Jesus that was made in Mary, that was born. Are you getting me?
Yes.
And became is the Messiah. So that was the city that Abraham was looking for. It is the kingdom of God that Abraham was looking for. He was looking for that kingdom. He never saw it physical.
Yes.
But we are privileged to have come after he came physical. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God in his time, we're privileged to have seen him physically, and we are privileged to come after him. So from them to us, we are all privileged to be the ones that have seen him physically. You get what I'm saying? That kingdom. The New Jerusalem is the later effect of the kingdom of God that has come, the person of Jesus. So the kingdom of God that Jesus preached was actually himself. He was preaching himself. And every time we manifest Jesus, we are manifesting the kingdom of God. See, that's why I told them, this is my body broken for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when he was breaking the bread, when he gave us and he was breaking the bread in for the 5,000, he was actually breaking himself, which was what he was availing them, the kingdom of God. See, when the kingdom of God is availed to men, it multiplies. When the kingdom of God is availed to men, the miraculous working power of God just flows without struggles. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right. Now, so Jesus taught them about the kingdom of heaven, which is the rule and reign of God in the heart of men. The rule and reign of God entails everything operational in the realm and will of God. Are we together? Amen. Which was the realm which Jesus lived by, was the name. Jesus is the will of God. Jesus is the will of God. He's the kingdom of God. And he is the realm of God here on earth. Are we together? Now, Jesus did not just only live in the realm of God. He is actually the realm of God here on earth. That's the reason why when the boat was being troubled by the storm, he was sleeping in the boat. Why? Because he's the realm of God here on earth. He's the kingdom of God here on earth. So how can a lower kingdom trouble the highest kingdom? Are we together? It's just like a colony trying to trouble what? The supreme leader, until the supreme authority decides to give them independence, they can do all they care for, and they can keep messing them up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So Jesus was the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the rule of God on earth. Amen to Jesus. Now, the realm of God entailed wholeness and perfection in health. That was why Jesus made people who were sick whole. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, when Jesus was moving, it was the realm of God moving. Now, when Jesus was moving, it was the full kingdom of God at work. It was the realm of God moving. So in the realm of God, there is no sickness. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when he sees a sick person, he just releases his realm into that person's realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. Which means the darkness, the word comprehended, the Greek means it cannot grasp it, it cannot hold it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. And when the realm of God comes to the realm of men, it superimposes. When the Queen of England was the supreme leader over some African nations, when she comes, she superimposes. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, she doesn't need to come to superimpose. From where she superimposes. That's why Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, because in his realm, he's the realm of God walking on the earth. In his realm, there's no sickness. In his realm, there's no disease. In his realm, there's no discomfort. So when he sees a sick person, what happens? He just releases his realm to that realm. And the higher realm always superimposes over the lower realm. So his realm superimposes over the realm of the devil. And all of a sudden, you see healing happen. So every healing that happened when Jesus worked with them was just the superimposition of God's strength over man's strength. Yep. Because God's strength was at work. Now, if you understand that Christ in us is the fullness of God's strength, is the fullness of God's kingdom at work, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
We can work with this understanding, and as we enter into environments, we superimpose the kingdom of God on that environment. Yes. We will see, this is the realm, this is the understanding God wants us to have. That when we step into environment, we super. See, listen to me very. I was in a revival meeting on Saturday. I was making them understand that about Charles and Frances Hunter. Charles and Frances Hunter, a powerful couple of used by God. When I read their book, I said, God, I want this kind of marriage. I want this kind. This husband and wife were too much. They were just too much. Just too much. I learned that, you know, I read a book to heal the sick. I can never forget that book. My friend took the book and never returned it. He read it, he couldn't return it again. We don't know the kind of book we're reading in school now. Don't know what generation they're reading. To heal the sick, you read that book. Fire will catch up in you to heal the sick. I learned that when two of them go to hospitals, the husband goes to the female ward, the husband goes to the male ward, the wife goes to the female ward, and then they go and pray for the sick. When they come out from their prayer session, when they finish praying, they come out. The husband's wife, how many were here today? The wife said 10. The wife asked, how many were here today? The husband said 11. Say, okay, I want you 1-0. Tomorrow we'll come and continue. That was the game they were playing. Healing people was their game. So today I want you. Tomorrow the wife comes, say, you want me to say, today I want you. So imagine that kind of sweet game. I learned that a man of God, a healing minister, came to their church once, and as he was preaching, he now stopped. He got to a point where he now said, if anyone is sick here, come on, let me pray for you. Then Charles came to him and whispered, there is no sickness in this church. Say, what do you mean? He said, we made a covenant with God that anybody who walks in here sick cannot walk out of here sick. So there is no sickness in this church again. My God. That's because superimposition of the will of God. Superimposition of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, what was operational in his kingdom, in him, he was carrying the kingdom. Anybody he meets, he imposes it. Even the woman with the issue of blood, that he didn't meet her one-on-one. She met him and he superimposed it. That's of the kingdom of God. What we carry inside of God, we carry Christ, the kingdom of God in us. So we are meant to be superimposing the operations of the kingdom of God everywhere we go. This time entails life. That was why Jesus brought the dead back to life. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he came to Lazarus, he said, the kingdom of God is in front of your tomb, Lazarus. Are you the kingdom of God is in front of your tomb. So we superimpose life. Lazarus! Come out. When he met the widow in the city of Nain after walking 8 miles, her son was being carried in a casket. He said, I am the kingdom of God operational. We superimpose our will. You get what I'm saying? And he touched the casket. Said, stop! When the kingdom of God moves, it superimposes. If they put those, I cleanse the road. I had the story of A.A. Allen. When he went to India, he saw a particular fetish priest doing an incantation, and it was pouring blood into a bullfrog's mouth. He looked at the fetish priest. He put his hand on the fetish priest, and he casted out the demon from the priest without permission. That's what he called the kingdom of God is here. Without permission. Hey, no, you don't understand. You see, all these things we do, I would say we are casting demons and we are interacting with demons. The demon is asking, we have two permission before we came here. No. You don't take permission. I think I'm saying, when you come to the realm of understanding that the kingdom of God is in you, he put his hand on the fetish priest and casted that demon without the permission of the demon. The demon left. Superimposing the kingdom. Hey, superimpose the kingdom. Are we together? So when he walked, when death was, he came back to life. This flame entails peace. That was why Jesus slept while the storm hit the boat. Are we together? And woke up, spoke peace to the storm, and it obeyed. Are we together? So it is the kingdom of God at work that makes God impose his operation on earth and in the affairs of men. Are we together? Now, so it's not, see, these things there, some people feel that, oh, they are not. It's all based on your level of relationship with the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's based on your desire to become more conscious of who you are in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody can choose what they want. You can choose to battle with devils, or you can choose to superimpose your spiritual standing. You can choose to superimpose your realm. Because, see, let me tell you, everybody's operating from a realm. Are you getting me? They are not operating from realms. That's just the truth. They are not operating from realms. Now, I've walked on the road more than once, more than twice, and I see people come and tell me, you are a man of God, you are a genuine man of God. You know, a while ago, I was just walking, I was on a gym trail, I was walking on my own, and somebody stopped me and said, my son, my child, you see, you are a dedicated servant of God. You are a sincere, genuine, faithful man of God. I don't know you from Adam. I don't know you. Are you together? And I think not more than once, no more than. Even the devils, they know. Are you getting me? They know. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So, you as a child of God, if you know what Christ in us, the hope of glory means, you will superimpose the kingdom of God. Without permission. The devil has begun to spread some lies nowadays, trying to make people understand that you cannot cast out demons, you cannot do this, you cannot destroy deities and every of that. The devil is playing some smart words, using scriptures to play some smart words. But let me help you understand something. If the life of A. Allen could superimpose the realm of the kingdom of God on somebody without the person's permission, I tell you, child of God, if you grow there, you do it. If we grow there, we do it. All this one, they take excuse from demons, take excuse from devils, negotiate with them. No! If we grow to that level, what is worrying us is lack of growth. When we grow, when we do it, we don't even notice that we did it. What Jesus did was to always enforce the realm of his Father on earth. That's all. That realm, he was just enforcing it. That was why Jesus invested time in teaching them about what? The kingdom of heaven. See, or go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus kept teaching about the kingdom. Was it that he didn't have any message to teach? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's what I've been trying to explain since that he was trying to explain. And today, still we have Christians who don't understand this. They don't understand it. But I pray the Lord grant us understanding. And I tell you, we should still desire to be more conscious of our realm. I'm saying we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, far above principalities above. He said we are seated. He didn't say we will be seated. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not a future tense thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. He didn't say we were seated. That means past tense and we're no longer saying no. He said we are. It's present continuous. It's present continuous. So every time you wake up, just remember that that's where you are. That's why A. Allen got to a point where he said, Jesus is too big. It's too big to do deliverance. I will do deliverance for Jesus. And he was doing deliverance with his name. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a level of understanding of what? The realm. The kingdom of God. It's a level of understanding of the kingdom of God. When you understand the constituents of this kingdom and the fact that the truth that this kingdom, the supreme authority always will forever be higher than what? Than the governor representative in the colony. You understand that things operate. When you understand that the supreme authority will always superimpose over the colony, you understand how this things operate. So you can easily just superimpose the kingdom of God here on earth. What is not operational there, as you step in, it should not be operational. So it taught them the kingdom of God to do what? To make them conscious of what? Of the kingdom of God and live in it. Jesus only taught the kingdom of God. Why? He was creating a consciousness of the kingdom of God so that we can live in this consciousness. Are we together? You see, what the Christian lacks more often than not is consciousness. And the reason is that we are more conscious of our earthly environment because of our five senses that communicate to us more than our what? Our spiritual environment. We are more conscious of our early environment. So that's the reason why it's more difficult for us to be conscious of the kingdom of God. And Jesus, when Jesus had to reiterate something, because he was trying to create a consciousness, and that's what we have to see, keep reiterating. So we create a consciousness of who the kingdom we operate from. That makes us understand that our king, Jesus told him, say, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of heaven, it's of God. And I superimpose it anywhere I go. Anywhere. He came to meet the madman in Gadara, and the madman started begging. The madman started negotiating. Jesus did not negotiate. Jesus is the madman just there talking. He started talking. He said, because what? He saw the kingdom of God as present. And he saw that Jesus was wielding the influence and superimposing it as he was on the move. Don't need to shout to superimpose it. As you walk, you superimpose it. As you move, you superimpose it. It's a consciousness that Jesus wanted to create in them. And the same consciousness he wants to create in us. Are we together? When people are conscious of the rule and reign of God, miracles happen without struggle. Without struggle. You see, this consciousness is what we actually need. You know, I was thinking of something today. We're thinking of something and we're saying, it's not going to be enough, it's not going to be enough. Remember, I know I've been, somebody just knocks on the door. I'm bringing it in, I was thinking of I was going to buy. And I'm like, as it happened, I said, I want to tell you, we're thinking of what we have, we're not going to be enough, what's not going to be enough. Should I go and buy? He said, no, it should be enough, don't go and buy. Should I go and buy? Is it? And somebody just asked me, you don't understand, what is it this thing you brought? What is that thing you brought? Some people think it's by small body. It's not small body. You see, sometimes we will thank God for the things we don't have now because it's making us grow to some level of of consciousness of the kingdom of God. When you understand that you don't need to turn stone to bread. When you understand, you don't need to turn stone to bread. That you superimpose the will of God here on earth. I remember I was going out one day. I was going to pray for the sick people in the hospital, and I always do every Tuesday. And I one of the morning, as I was going out, I'd come downstairs of the house, gone out of the house, and I forgot my wallet. And I was not late, actually. I wanted to go back up. But I said, to climb back upstairs, I didn't want to stress myself. And as I didn't want to stress myself, the Lord dropped in my spirit. When I sent ye out without pause or scrip, lack ye anything? And he said not. And I took my step going. That was the first time I left my house without my wallet. And I came back and I told my wife this testimony. And I said, I know the Lord is taking me to a level. When I walk out of my house, actually without wallet every day. And everything I need will be met on the road. You see, some of us think that we have to carry purse and script and extra coat. You know, say, go without purse, without script, without extra coat. Take one shoe. Say why? Because your provision is on the journey. It's not in your hand. Because when we walk, when you walk with the kingdom mentality, it's impossible to experience lack and want when you're walking with that mentality. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't live in lack and want. You can't live in lack and not possible. That thing that happened today, I was like, You know that anything happens? There's not like God is this on the other day that I mean, my son, I'm taking it to a realm. I'm taking it to a realm. When you think of it, when you just think of it, it will happen. Why that thing? And this person has come to understand that we will never ask him. Why that thing? God is taking it to rest. May this consciousness dwell in us. That's God gives birth to the miraculous. People cannot know until they are taught. Same applies to the kingdom of God. The life and operations of the kingdom of God are first to be taught so it can be understood.
Yes.
So that's why Jesus spent time teaching the kingdom, teaching. It's not like he didn't have anything to preach. I get what I'm saying. But last percentage of his message was the kingdom of God, because he wanted to create a consciousness. Teach it. Dr. Miles Monroe of the Blessed Memory started teaching the kingdom before he left. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was something that many people would have continued teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the consciousness that the devil does not want us to have. Once we have that consciousness, all these our nonsense struggles in church, we end. Oh my gosh, in the kingdom. So it has to be first taught so it can be understood. Afterwards, it is caught. So when after it is taught, it is what? Caught. Teach it, the people will catch it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Teach it, they will catch it. So that's why Jesus was teaching, so they will catch it, and we have to keep teaching it. So people will be catching it. This consciousness of the kingdom, this kingdom mentality is a very important mentality. We have to be conscious of it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus invested 3.5 years teaching his disciples. He was not prophesying on them, neither laying hands on them, which are all good, amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
Rather, he was teaching them. After teaching his disciples for 3.5 years, he left them and he turned the world upside down. Why do I need to work in the teaching ministry? And why do I invest my life in the teaching ministry? And by the grace of God, I bless God for the teaching ministry that has blessed me with, the teaching ministry that opens things in scriptures that you wonder, were they there before? Are you get what I'm saying? By the period of God's grace, I was talking with a man of God, and he was like, he was telling me some of my teachings here. And I said, I take your teachings and I preach, and I was so blessed. Now God is doing me to bless me some of the gospel. If you are too busy as a pastor now, you can go to my podcast. Listen to all the teachings, I'm going to be preaching them. You are free. I told a particular man of God, he said, he wants to learn how to teach. I said, man of God, go to my podcast. Go and listen and go and preach. He's telling me to come and teach his members. I said, you don't need me to teach your members. Take my podcast, listen, go and teach. Over 700 teachers. If you listen to them, you will top pastor. You will top preacher. Go and teach. That's the blessing that God has given me today. And I'm so thankful to him for that. He taught his disciples for 3.5 years. He led them and they turned the world upside down. We have always given the people physical food first instead of teaching them first. Teach them the kingdom, they will catch it. They will go outside and turn their world upside down. The Bible speaking in Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says, and when they found them not, they drew chasing and setting brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They called Jason and God and said, these guys are the ones who are turning the world upside down. What? Because of what Jesus did for 3.5 years. Teaching them the kingdom for 3.5 years. See, my brother, my sister, we cannot sit under kingdom-oriented teaching for 3.5 years and our life remain the same. And our environment remain the same. We will turn our societies upside down. Like somebody said, he said the world is already upside down. Let's turn it downside down. Are we together? This was the secret of this miracle. He taught them the kingdom. He was teaching them the kingdom. Teaching them the kingdom. That means he taught them many things. In the kingdom, that means he was teaching them many things. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't document. He talked too much. They couldn't document. The only thing they say is the kingdom, they summarize the message. The kingdom of God is at hand. But that message, the kingdom of God is at hand. The constituent, all the lines and precepts, they couldn't summarize. But they caught it. And you know what I'm saying? They couldn't summarize to write it, but they caught it. And when they caught it, they turned their world upside down. By the grace of God, we have had teachings on the kingdom of God. We will yet hear teaching on the kingdom of God. It's time for us to catch it. When we catch it, brothers and sisters, 5 loaves and 2 fishes will feed millions. They'll feed millions. You don't need millions of loaves to feed millions of people when you already have caught the kingdom. Catch the kingdom. Abraham sought for it. He didn't see the promise. It has manifested in our time. We should not do less than what? Than the best. Even the one who taught the kingdom, Jesus, said, greater works than I did shall you do. the privilege of God's grace, we are thankful to God. Jesus stayed in Israel all his lifetime, 33 and a half years. But we are thankful to God that through this podcast that God has given to us, we are reaching nations for the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. We are indeed, by the grace of God, expanding the kingdom influence. So teach the people. Jesus taught them. He taught them the kingdom. We must teach the kingdom. Are we together? We must teach the kingdom. If it's not the kingdom mentality, don't teach it. You see, victim mentality has been taught in the church. We believe that the devil, we have to fight him. We have to beat him. No! That's the victim mentality. That is not even a colony mentality. Are you getting what I'm saying? We need to inculcate the kingdom mentality in our lives. First, one of the qualities of a bishop and servant of God, who is the spiritual leader and guide, is that he must be asked to what? To teach. He must be asked to what?
Teach.
1 Timothy 3 verse 2, it says, a bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, giving to hospitality. Always ready. Always ready to teach. Always ready to teach. Every child of God, you may say, okay, I'm not a bishop. A bishop is just an overseer. You get what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. God is called the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Are we together? It's overseer, but a bishop is just an overseer. And so if you say I'm not a bishop of a denomination, but my brother, you are a bishop over your family. You are the overseer over your family. So you must be apt to teach your wife and your children. Be apt to teach. If you say, at least you must have a family. If you say, okay, I'm not yet married, in your job or somewhere, you're overseeing something. You must be overseeing something. Your friends, be apt to teach. Are we together? And if you say, okay, you are not an overseer, I won't argue with you. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord, are we not all servants of the Lord? Are we not all servants of the Lord? So this one, you cannot run away from it. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle, but be gentle unto all men, to teach patient. If you say you are not an overseer, you are a servant. If you are not overseeing, you are serving. You say, I don't have a family, so I'm not overseeing my wife and my children. Okay, I agree with you. I'm not an overseer in my place of work. I agree with you. I'm not an overseer for my friends. My friends say, if I hired me, that means you are serving in your place of work. You are serving your friends. That means you are a servant of the Lord. So you also should be up to. I like this up to teach idea because there's nobody that is excluded. When you be overseer or you be servant, you must see. You must be apt to teach. And that's why I like it. So when I see people who don't want to teach, I know that they are running away from scripture. Whether you're overseer or you're a servant, you must be apt. The proof of vision versus compassion is spiritual leadership and guidance. We are teaching. And what are we to teach in the book? Teach it by your life. Teach it by your words. Teach it. Tonight, we are asking the Lord grace to be conscious of the kingdom of God, and to teach it by our lifestyle, our words, and our actions. We receive that grace. We are talking to the Lord tonight.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 5541020592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233 54 594 7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.